This is Pointing You Home on WMAL.
Welcome back to the Eric Stewart Show. A little psychology, right? The fear of not having enough. How does that rule your life? Let me give you an example of how it has ruled mine as a point of insight into my life to see how I can relate to this issue. My father was born in 1928. God bless him. He's 93 years of age, and he's doing well with my mom, who's 85. I'm grateful for their 63 years of marriage. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for your example of humility, working through the troubles and challenges of life, your faithfulness to each other and to God and to our family. I thank you so much. I want you to know that Dad was born in 28, lost his mom at 2 years of age to a brain aneurysm, and dealt with emotional challenges that came from losing his mom at a very young age. And I think that complicates anybody's life when you lose a mother or father as a child, regardless of how young you are. And I think it impacts all of us at any time in life when we lose a spouse or we lose anybody that we love, right? My dad, being born in 1928, meant that he was 11 years old as the war was breaking out, and he lived through the Great Depression, and in some ways, like some of our millennials who've lived through the Great Recession and not having much in the way of income, jobs, and whatnot. There is a concern about whether there will be enough tomorrow. And that caused my dad to be very prudent and not risky in some ways that someone who maybe grew up 10 years later would have been, who didn't have that same fear. And being the son of my father, I grew up learning a degree of fear of maybe I won't have enough. And yet, you know, I have an incredibly successful real estate career with a God-blessed team of real estate agents and staff. And I have the privilege of doing a radio show and running a nonprofit to help widows. I've got enough. I've got enough every day. And yet, in the back of my mind, there is this simple fear that runs through my mind. And I have to remind myself, no, you have enough. You don't need more. You have enough. Love more. Love more. Love more. And you can see how that might play into my thinking. And if I allowed that thought to grow, it could lead me down a road of acquiring more than I need. And I'm not saying if you're concerned about, you know, an attack and having enough food for 6 months, that's hoarding, right? If you are more protectionist and you have built a bunker and you've got enough food to last if there was need, that's fine. That's just you're prepared. There's a difference between preparation, right, and versus a consistent accumulation born out of that fear or born out of needing to make yourself feel a value or something like that. So as I've worked with my clients over the years and I've seen the consistency in this particular fear as it ruled their thinking, there's a disorganization that ultimately comes through this because at some point, like a bookshelf in your living room where you buy it and you fill it with some books, but there's room left, you ultimately acquire another book and there's an accomplishment that comes in filling that bookshelf, and you get to a point where the entirety of the bookshelf has been filled all the way across. And now you either need to take a book off the shelf and discard it because you don't need it anymore, you don't want it, you decide you don't like it, or you need to now do what? Buy another bookshelf so that your accumulation of books has a place to grow. I had the unusual experience of not selling a home for, but working with a gentleman and his wife. He was a professor at St. Stephen's in Alexandria, and he had 10,000 books in his school-provided home there. And it was fascinating because he had an entire room, bedroom in his house that was to the Confederacy, another one to the Union, and he had then another whole room which was France and Germany and all these books and so on. And he, of course, on the top floor, he had all of the theology books because that was closer to God. He had filled the entirety of this home with books. He had no more room for books, though he had established and grown his collection over time, and no children to speak of. These were his babies, and he got to a point where he had no more room and either needed to buy more space or say goodbye. And there is the crux. That is the line that we all must come to, and whatever it is that we collect or whatever it is that we buy, is to identify and say to yourself, I need 2 suits, 3 suits, 4 suits, whatever, 3-4 pairs of shoes. And if you are getting people that you know who are coming to you saying, hey, I'm concerned you maybe have more than you need, and you don't know how to deal with that, or your first reaction is they don't like me, or they're criticizing me, rather than maybe stepping back. You know, the old saying, if one person tells you you look like a horse, you ignore them. If 2 people tell you you look like a horse, it's time to look in the mirror and take a look and see. If 3 people say it to you, then it's time to buy a saddle, okay? If you are at that point where you've not established a boundary, and maybe you have a hard time doing that, and maybe that boundary moves because your emotions move past that boundary, and this can be true in many areas of life, bring somebody else into your life and say, hey, what's reasonable? I can't see this. There is humility that comes from seeking wisdom. I personally love the organization called Celebrate Recovery. It's a Christian 12-step program that is based off of the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:3-10. And it starts with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, when he spoke, he was talking to the reality that we all have to see the poverty of our lives. We all have hurts, and we all have habits, and we all have hang-ups in life. And when we see that we have something that's unmanageable in our life, and we're honest about it, we kind of come to the end of our rope. That's when we see the poverty, then we can mourn over that, then we can yield our life, then we can actually make a change. But you have to come to that place. And if you're in a place where it's hard for you to draw boundaries in any area of your life, I would recommend looking at Celebrate Recovery. And you can check that out online. They're at churches of many denominations all over the United States. It's called Celebrate Recovery. Check them out today. Best wishes in your working through any challenges you may have in this area. And I appreciate you listening this morning as we've discussed hoarding. It's a tough one. It's a tough topic. Well, I'm out of time. It's a pleasure to be with you as always. I'm Eric Stewart, and I'll see you next week.
The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on WMAL.
Are you over 50 or love someone who is? I'm Stuart Rosenthal, publisher of the Beacon Newspapers, and our paper's meant for you. Our free monthly is packed with well-written topical information, the latest health research, diet and fitness advice, stock market updates, financial planning tips, elder law topics, housing options, plus technology, travel, and arts features, all geared to the needs and interests of people over 50 and their families. The Beacon can be picked up at no charge from more than 1,500 locations throughout the D.C. metro area. Libraries, recreation centers, CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies, churches and synagogues, doctor's offices, and other places where older adults live and shop. And visit our newly updated website, thebeaconnewspapers.com, for even more stories than fit in our printed publication. And to use our new Silver Pages, a searchable database of regional housing, home care, financial planning, and legal services. For more information about The Beacon, including how to advertise your business or event, either in print or online, call 301-949-9766. That's 301-949-9766. Or send us a message at thebeaconnewspapers.com.